Welcome to Crossroads, everybody. My name's Rob. It's great to have you guys here. I'm going to start our time by worshiping together. I'm going to tell God that we love him, that we want to know him more, that we just want to encounter him in new ways in our lives. Why don't you guys stand up and we'll do this together, right? Singing about a king that I follow, a father that I love and who loves me. So I know sometimes this is weird in church. People are like, oh gosh, I'm standing next to a hand raiser. But I'll tell you, for me, honestly, like this is a natural thing. My kids, when they were little, they did this to me because they were like, Dad, I trust you. So this is what I'm doing is I sing this. If you want to do that, it's cool. There's nothing weird about it. If the person next to you is doing it, you can just push him over a little bit, all right? Here we go, worship the king.
Worship the king, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the ancient of days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with
you alone.
To you alone be your master.
majesty. Your glories and wonders, what tongue can recite? You breathe in the air, you shine in the light.
You breathe in air, you shine in light. I've been deprived of peace, forgotten true prosperity.
Every morning new.
and sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I will worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before, let me be singing.
And sing. All the
comes before the Lamb of God and say, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
You were worthy of it all.
For from you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory. God, thank you so much for the way that you pursue us, that you would even draw us to a place like this, where you would want to reveal yourself to us in new ways. I thank you that we can come together and sing of your goodness and experience your presence in genuinely life-changing ways. Love the way you love us. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for singing along with us. I believe that makes the Father just a sense of love coming from his children. It's a good thing to him. So good. Why don't you do me a favor? Just turn and say hi to some folks around you. Meet a couple new people and then grab a seat, all right?
How's everybody doing? Yeah. Man, welcome to Crossroads. Was that incredible or what? Shoo, we can all just go home. We're done here. We're done. That was amazing. Welcome to Crossroads. My name is Matt. I'm on the experience team, help pull the weekend services together. If this is your first time here, welcome to Crossroads. If you're joining us at Crossroads anywhere, welcome to Crossroads. Whether you're in Beijing or Boise, we are glad to have you with us here this morning. If you're new, you should know we don't make any assumptions about who you are or what you believe. This is a safe place to ask questions, so we're really glad that you're joining us. If you've been before, welcome back. A few things to know. We don't want to just hear a message on the weekend and say, that was great, I checked the box, I showed up at church, I'll see you next weekend. We actually want to be people who put the things we hear in service into practice. So we want to be people who go. We are tireless workers here at Crossroads, so we have an opportunity to go to South Africa this September. We are going to Soweto. Yeah, some of you are clapping, you might have been before. We're sending 150 people to South Africa, Soweto, South Africa, this September, to be the literal hands and feet of Jesus to serve people in need. We're going to plant gardens, teach kids, build houses, and maintain partnerships in a community that desperately needs it. And we need you to join us. So if you've been thinking, I think I want to serve somehow, maybe I want to go on a trip, this could be the trip for you. And if you've been before, you're invited to join us again. There's an info session on March 17th to learn more about it. And on March 14th, you can start signing up. If you have any questions, go to crossroadsgo.net. Believe it or not, we are only 1 month away from our all church journey, Brave. Come on. Come on. We are 1 month away from our all church journey, Brave. Now, if you're new, I don't expect you to cheer. That's the all church journey. What are you talking about? It's a 6-week journey where everything around here just kind of shuts down and we focus on one topic from kids club all the way to the weekend experiences. There's a weekend experience, there's an individual experience, and there's group experiences that help us dive deeper into this content. There's also a Brave experience that you get to walk through and actually tangibly experience God's presence. But right now, we need people to be hosts. We're obsessive includers around here, and we want to include our friends in this journey with us. If you did Brave last year, we're doing it again because we heard this was the best journey we've ever done, so we're revamping some of it, adding some new creative inspiration, but it worked, so we're doing it again. If you did it last year, God has more for you. If you've never done it, God has more for you. So we invite you to check it out and be a Brave host. And to make that possible, to make us be able to open our houses easier and have people join us, we have a sweet new tool to help us. Check it out. Take a brave step, be a brave host. Don't wait till the last minute to do it. Start opening those groups now so people have an opportunity to join us. Crossroads.net/brave. Last thing, in a few weeks, Easter is upon us, believe it or not. The good news is that means spring is almost upon us as well. Warm weather is right around the corner, I promise. Actually, I can't promise that. This is Cincinnati where we are right here. Hopefully you're somewhere warm watching us online and you have it all year round. But Easter's coming up. How many of us were at the Easter experience last year? Okay. We're doing it again. We went to Israel last year. We filmed on location, and we followed the path that Jesus lived and worked and died and brought that back here for us to experience. If you're anything like me, Easter was just a way to sort of get candy. That's all it meant to us as a kid. That's what it was for me. We thought, what if it could actually have a tangible impact on our life? And so we created an immersive experience that allows us to go on location to see the teaching there. And if you remember, we got a box last year. This thing is sweet. It has all the stuff in it that you can interact with during the service. So we're doing that again. And don't get bummed out if you're joining us at Crossroads Anywhere. We're actually going to be streaming all of our services live online and rebroadcasting Sunday night. Let us know that you're watching us online and let us know how many people you're bringing with us. We will send you a kit as well. So that way you can have all of your friends experience it. Yeah. It's going to be great. And the whole point of that message is just to say, hey, start inviting. We want to be obsessive includers. We want to let people experience the things that we have. So talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, talk to your family. We're doing a Thursday, Friday service so that if you have to go to that church you went to growing up to make sure grandma's not disappointed in you again, you can still go to that church, but you can also come to ours at Thursday and Friday night as well. All of this takes money to fuel, not so we can hoard it here for ourselves and be rich, but so we can spread that money out and be people who glorify God through all the work that we do. And in order to make that happen, that takes our community here to pull off. If you're new, let the bag pass you by. There's three ways to give. Crossroads.net/give, in check, or in cash as the bag comes by. Again, if you're new, no pressure. Not meant to burden you with that. So while we do that, let's check out a promo for our Easter experience. Glad you're here.
This place is unlike anything in the world because it stands in the intersection of three major religions. This city has nothing to draw us to it. It has no great natural wonders around it. It's not a port city. It's the spiritual history of this city that makes it powerful. On Easter, we're going to be taking you through different sites where Jesus and his followers actually were. And I'm trusting that you are going to be blessed and you're going to grow to a new place in your understanding of yourself and, most importantly, your understanding of Jesus.
Yeah, right around the corner. It's going to be good. My gosh, we saw last year with our Easter. By the way, I'm Brian, senior pastor at Crossroads. Great to be with everybody today. We just saw last year, amazing feedback from people who said, gosh, that really rocked my world. And we're trying to learn from some of the other things God's been doing in our church where we've seen with the weighted, if we keep trying to improve it every year, it gets more and more powerful. And it's a safe place because you know what it is to actually invite people. And so we're trying that with some other things. We had a great journey with the Brave last year. And instead of having instead of hitting the reset button and creating something brand new from scratch, they said, let's try this and improve on it. It's a base. We all have to go through new brave things every year. Spiritual growth is always about being brave. And even if there was something you crossed over on last year, there's no question there's something right now. And the same with Easter. Easter was great last year, but let's improve on it. In the process, we can help us know that this is a predictable thing that I can understand and bring a friend to. Because it's important for me to go outside of my reach, outside of my normal, and bring other folks in. This is a massive theme that we're looking at in the Bible today and in today. In fact, today, the main thing I'm going to get you to try to do is I want you to go outside of yourself and eat differently this week. Eat and drink differently this week for the benefit and blessing of somebody who's outside of you. That's right, when you got your water in here, take a little sip right now. Some of you are going, right, no, I'm not going to take a sip. I didn't get my coffee this morning. This is just really, this is really poor planning on Crossroads' part. You should have just let me know ahead of time, because now I came in and there wasn't. Can you say entitled? Can you say that? Can you? No, it's not that. Can you say addicted? Relax. It's 1 week. My word. My gosh. So it's going to be fun. We're going to come together doing something that's pretty profound. I'm going to talk about it in a moment, but let's pray right now. So God, I thank you that you have brought people here who want to grow. I believe that's the case with everybody who's at a Crossroads site, everybody who's at Crossroads anywhere. We're people who want to go to new places. And so I trust that you will use the words that I believe that you've given me. I want my words to honor you more than anything else, God, and help us to become the people that you want us to be. And I pray these things according to the person and identity of Jesus. Amen. So we're in this series, Death to Religion, and we're seeing how religion is defined as any system that you work to get to God and impress God. Any system that you work to make yourself feel better about yourself and better than other people. And Crossroads, for that matter, it can be a religion that needs to die. Just because Crossroads is newer and hipper, it can still be a system that you're working. You're trying to get here on the weekends and serving and tithing and doing these things, and shouldn't God be happy with me and keep away bad stuff from happening to me? No, that's what religion tries to do, is just try to control you and twist you. And that kind of stuff needs to die. It's about a relationship with God through Jesus. It's not about fulfilling regulations and principles. This is starting to sink in with folks in our community. I got this email not too long ago. She says this: I got good at playing the good little church girl. I knew all the Bible answers to make my Sunday school teachers beam with pride. I even waited till marriage and saved myself for the one. And then I found myself divorced and very, very angry with God by 25. I followed all the rules and did everything right. Why did he let this happen to me? I rebelled hard. I'd followed that God's rules, his plan, and it didn't work. So screw him, I would just do whatever I wanted. I even reached the point at my lowest, I questioned if there was a God at all, and that scared the H-E double toothpick out of me. An email from H. Well, you think I'm going to say that in church? I'm not going to say that word. What the hell are you thinking? I'm not going to do that in church. Jeez. The system failed her. She thought if she did all this stuff, then everything would be okay, and then it wasn't okay, and she started doubting whether or not God was real and whether or not he actually cared. The book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 3 and following in the New Testament, it says, he saved us, Jesus saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, not because of our religiosity, not because of the rules and systems we operated on, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, check out the water theme. Big stuff on water today. We've got, he poured out on us generously through the washing of rebirth. When you wash, water is necessary for wash. There's nothing that I know that will wash you other than water. I guess they have that fear gel now. I guess that'll do it, that disinfectant stuff that's all over the place. But this is, I call it fear gel. It's like, oh no, I'm so afraid. Oh, there's another one, good. Oh, jeez. Water is a huge, fear gel is not a theme in the Bible at all. Water is a huge theme in the Bible. We see at the very beginning, God separates the waters, he divides the waters as the dry land comes into being. Humankind rebels and he sends a massive rainstorm, floods the planet. Noah and his family are floated to safety. We see Jesus comes. Jesus is, in essence, an identity with Moses. Moses in the Old Testament leaves the slaves out of slavery and he parts the waters, goes through the water. Jesus leads us out of spiritual slavery and he actually one time walks on the water. He does all this after he is baptized. He goes under the water and he hears a voice, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." Water is significant over and over and over again. In fact, everybody who comes in relation with God through Jesus in the rest of the Bible gets baptized. Water is a huge and massive thing. And this is why water is going to be throughout all of our initiatives. You want to know why we're going to change the way we eat and drink this week? You want to know why? No. Yeah, yes, yes, there you go. Yes, thank you. Someone's excited. Yes. We're doing it because we want to be water to the rest of our world. We want to go outside of ourselves. There's a water thing that goes throughout this entire thing. First, internationally, we in our church, we have folks like you and I who have sponsored 6,000 kids who are getting educated and being fed until they're 18 at Compassion International. And one of our partners in Nicaragua is Amigos for Christ. And we're going to, as a result of the money that we send them, they're going to be able to dig more wells and bring more clean water for our kids and other kids. How good is that? Come on. So basically what happens is you choose, I'm gonna eat like people in Nicaragua do every day, beans and rice. I'm going to choose to do that for a week, or we don't have to be religious about this. Just do something. Maybe you want to eat out of your cupboard all week long. And whatever the difference is between what you would have spent on something else and what was in your cupboard, you can go to crossroads.net/give. You can go on the app. You can go to the little fund, beans and rice, so everything is identified there. And you can do that meal by meal. Or pool your money throughout the whole week and come in next week and give it away. Maybe you're going to eat out of your pantry. Maybe you're going to do like me. I'm going to eat every meal this week, beans and rice and salsa. I put salsa on it. Maybe you're going to... I don't know what maybe you're going to do just lunches. Maybe you're going to do just dinners. Maybe instead of doing wine or your Knob Creek, you're going to do water instead. And when you do that, you're Knob Creek, well, it's bourbon, Mildred. It's bourbon. Maybe whatever that is. And then the difference between that and what you just had, it's a sacrifice and it goes to blessing other people. Nationally, what we're going to do is we're bummed out about the Flint water crisis. And so we're going to come alongside those children in Flint, and we're going to get something done. We're going to fund the Flint Child Health and Development Fund, and this is all in your program that you can see, the Flint Child Health and Development Fund, and we're going to try to get kids physically and psychologically healthy beyond just having water, which there's plenty of water, bottled water, right now in Flint, Michigan. In our city, we want to have a water initiative. A couple years ago, we kept Cincinnati pools open because the city had some mismanagement of their budget and they were shutting down pools, and we came in with our beans and rice money and we kept the city pools open. It was really a cool, cool thing. Fortunately, our city has gotten its financial footing. It's managing its resources apparently better, so pools aren't shutting down. But you know what we did have last year is we had some drownings in pools. Do you realize in city limits, 30% of Caucasian children can't swim? 60% of Hispanic children can't swim, and 70% of African-American children can't swim. Now, it's not because of your racial DNA that causes you to be able to swim or not swim. It's that, unfortunately, your skin tone has a say in whether or not you will be okay financially. The more likely that you are not white, the more likely that you are in poverty. And when you're in poverty, you just rather spend your money on food than on swim lessons. And so we're going to buy swim lessons for kids who can't afford it this year. That's what we're going to do. We're going to come along. They're not going to be as many drownings. And not only that, not just drownings. We want kids to have fun. God's about kids having fun. So we're going to allow kids to have fun and be able to go off the high dive. I don't even know if they have any high dive any longer. I don't think they do. We have fear gel and we've eliminated high dives. I don't know what the heck is wrong with our country. We're going to do that. And then locally, when I say locally, I mean all of our Crossroads locations, Oxford, West Side, you know, on and on and on, all of them, and Crossroads anywhere. If you're banding together with people in Louisville or in Topeka, we're going to encourage you to find a local heroin initiative that you can fund. Heroin is a scourge on the tri-state region of Kentucky, Indiana, and Cincinnati. We're actually the epicenter. We're the capital of heroin. It's awful. It's utterly, utterly awful. And we're going to continue to fund initiatives that are close to our campuses. that will bring people out of that addiction or help them keep off that addiction. You know, addictions.com says this about heroin. Heroin can cause dehydration and dry mouth. The user may feel as if he or she cannot get enough to drink. Unfortunately, dry mouth also leads to a buildup of plaque and debris on the teeth, which can wear away the enamel and cause decay to form more rapidly than in non-heroin users. Dehydration, left untreated, can cause other serious side effects. So there's a dehydration issue with heroin, and we're going to be coming against that. Now, all of this ties to the values of Jesus. All this ties to a graphic I want to share with you today. Let's just envision our life in two realms. There is a realm in which we have a relationship with God. We up towards Him. We're reaching up to God, whether that's worshiping to Him, praying to Him, trying to listen to Him. And then there is a in relationship where I am in community with other people. Now, this realm right here is really where religion thrives. And before I crack on it, let me just say this is really important. It's really important that you know where it is and when it is that you're connecting with God. I know you can connect with God anywhere, but if there's not something on your calendar, on your schedule where you know it's going to happen, you're not going to be as filled as you could otherwise. It's important to know who it is that's in your inner circle, who's in your community, who is it that's encouraging you and you're encouraging them and you're teaching one another and enjoying life together and challenging each other and holding each other accountable. This area, this is where religion really excels, defining who's in, we're in, because we're the ones who actually see the one true God. Everyone outside of us who doesn't have our same beliefs, doesn't have our same values, they're just kind of out there. And it ends up being very, very dysfunctional. Also ties into our pride. We talked about pride and humility last week. Religious people can be the most prideful people because it's like God likes us the most. Because I know all these verses and other people don't. Because I'm going to church and they don't do that. Because I'm doing this and they're not doing that. And so we have this sense of pride that is not healthy and is not good. Matthew 8:1-4, we see these realms operating. Jesus, when he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." So Jesus comes down from the mountain. So he's having an up moment with God. He tends to like to go up to have times of prayer and worship with God. So he's up there connecting with his Father one-on-one. And then he comes down. And who's down there with him? His disciples are down with him. His inner circle. In fact, there's a bunch of crowd that's down there. They're down there and they're doing things that are important, they're significant. But there's something else that takes place. See, if these are our only two realms, there's no container. There's no substance to our life. So if I expand this a bit, this represents, if you will, our inner vitality. This is a reservoir, this is a container for how much energy, how much passion, how much zeal you have. If all you have is this, there will be something that's lacking. There's another dimension we need. It's the dimension of going outside of ourselves. So Jesus comes down and he goes outside of himself. He goes to somebody who is a leper. And there's some powerful stuff that happens here in a moment. I'll get into that in just a moment. But first, let me describe what the lives that many of us have right now. Many of us, inside of our reservoir, we've got a little bit of something. We've got a little bit of energy. We've got a little bit of fuel. And we go through our day, and all of a sudden, we need to sense God's presence. We need to be able to have a hard conversation, and we got to make sure we say it right. We need to go into a really difficult meeting. We need to just do something that's beyond what we think that we can do. So what do? We stick a hose back into our reservoir and say, "Man, I got to get something out of here. Come on, I got to reach back and I got to suck it up." And so we're like So we're trying to get our energy, trying to get our vitality. And this wears you out. If all you're doing all day is just trying to reach back and trying to find something, it's not going to work. What needs to happen is we need to come to a place where we're filled up enough to where there is an overflow. We're filled up enough to where there is a natural process that can come out of us. This is the goal. This is what we need to do. Now, most people, and I speak now, right now, specifically of religious folks, their reservoir is like this, and they have no out. It's just one large stinking thing. Because there's no outflow. There's nothing powerful that's happening outside of us. Where do we get this energy, by the way? Where does it come from? Well, it comes from God. It comes from Him. What does He do? He actually sprinkles. He actually rains on us and fills us up. And there's also an underground reservoir of our relationships that also fills us up. So these are the two ways that we are filled. And you would think it's really great to be filled to the top, but not necessarily. Not necessarily. In the book of Isaiah chapter 32, 15, it says this: "The Lord is poured on us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field." So God pours down onto us from on high. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 to 7 says, "I planted the seed." This is the Apostle Paul talking, who planted churches and wrote a bunch of the New Testament. He says, "I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." So God's watering and Apollos is watering. We see a bunch of people involved here, a bunch of people engaged, going out planting seed. And one of the worst lies of religion is that your religion is a private matter. Our religion is a private matter. My spirituality is very personal to me. What does that mean? It's very personal. No, it's not. No. God pours on us so that we can pour on other people. God gives us things so we can be His hands and feet and bless other people. What would you rather take a swim in? Would you rather take a swim in the Ohio River? Or would you rather swim in a farmer's pond? Who says Ohio River? Raise your hand. Would you rather swim in the Ohio River? Who says farmer's pond? Raise your hand. Who has too low self-esteem to raise your hand in public? Who's that right now? Now, if you've ever been to a farmer's pond, you know what I'm talking about, the one where cattle go to and everything, and that is not the right place to go. Not because of cow saliva, but because there's formed by water trickling down off hillsides and then pooling up down there, and that is always skanky, nasty water. It's skanky. Why? Because there's no outlet. There's no out. There has to be an out to keep it flowing. And I tell you, in your life right now, you can either view yourself as a pond of God's resources. Give me, God, give me, give me. Other people give to me. I just want to be filled up. Or you can view yourself as a river of blessing. A river that's rushing, a river that's fresh, a river that's going someplace, or a stagnant piece of water, even if it's a large piece of water. Has to be rushing, has to be moving for it to be good. So what's it have to do with this leper? This leper is what is called unclean. Jesus makes him clean because he is referred to and known as, in Jewish circles, in the Jewish religion, as unclean. If you read the Old Testament of the Bible, there's all this stuff about what's clean, what's unclean, and it gets really, really confusing. I'm going to give you, like, for the next 10 minutes, some 401 level stuff. Are we okay with that? Are we going to be big boys and girls? Are we okay with this? Yeah. All right, good. So, doesn't matter if you are or not. I'm going to do it anyway. So, to be clean or unclean, it basically means this. When something is declared unclean, it's declared that because it's something that's not going to be in heaven. It's unclean. So if you saw a dead carcass of an animal, and you were to go, that carcass is unclean, and if you were to touch it, you are unclean. What does that mean? It means that there are no dead animals in heaven. So it's unclean. So they're trying to drill into God's way versus something that's only going to last for a little while. And by the way, when something is unclean, it doesn't mean it's sinful. It doesn't mean you're awful. It just means you're exhibiting a condition right now that you won't be exhibiting in heaven. So it's unclean. And unfortunately, because it's unclean, you are put outside of the community for a bit, because if something that is unclean touches you or you touch it, then you become unclean. It's like cooties. Remember cooties? Ooh, cooties, immunities. I got cooties, you know. I got my thing. Am I too old? Do they not do cooties anymore? Who did cooties? Yeah, good, all right, good. Remember Marsha Kime, Kime germs. Kime germ. Oh, no, got my fingers crossed. So this is basically a way of being unclean. They would put them out of the community. So if a woman was menstruating, she was declared unclean. And she'd go with other women who were menstruating and unclean, but they would have to go as one, all unclean, out of the camp for a while. Now, that sounds like really, really awful. I mean, of course it is a bummer, but understand what's really taking place here, what's being communicated is there will be no menstruating in heaven. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's great stuff right there. I tell you what, that's good for all of us. That's great for all of us. On multiple levels, that's great for all of us. That really is. So it's being declared as, let's just remind ourselves here, this is not in heaven. And so when this guy has a leper, he would have to walk down the street and he would have to say, unclean, unclean, unclean. Don't want anyone to touch me. I don't want you to get infected. Unclean. Could you imagine just how demoralizing it would be to declare yourself as your identity unclean so that no one would touch you? Jesus was regularly touching people, praying for people, touching them. I think one of the reasons he does is there's just something about physical touch that's powerful. I saw a study a number of years ago, I think it was in Purdue University, in their library, where they had one librarian, when she was checking out books, or he, touched the arm of the person when gave the book back after stamped it, and the other librarian didn't. Then they surveyed people coming out of the library, and the ones who had gotten touched, though they didn't realize that they even had, just reported to have had a more positive experience in the library than those who didn't get touched. Jesus is touching people because he knows there's something kind of special about that. And he's touching people because he's making them clean. He is ritually purifying them. In the book of John, chapter 7, verse 37 to 8, it says this: on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Whoever's thirsty, come on, who's thirsty? I'm thirsty right now. Whoever's thirsty, come and drink. He says, if you come to me, rivers of living water will flow from you. Now, you and I don't understand this. This just sounds like some really nice, cool mountain stream. That's cool. Have a mountain stream flowing from me. That's kind of neat. No, he's tapping into this clean, unclean thing. When you were unclean, in order to be purified in the ritual, in their custom, you would have to go to a ritual cleansing to have that water cleanse you. So when Jesus heals this leper and says, go show yourself to the priest, what's going to happen is the priest is going to go, oh yeah, 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 you're done. Okay, you can go back in and hang out with people again. That's good. And he's going to undergo a ritual bath to bathe him and make him clean spiritually, as their beliefs. And this water was living water. Where do you find living water? Well, it could be the rain. Rain counted as living water. Go inside of a river, it's moving as living water. Go to the edge of the ocean and waves are crashing in. That is living water. What if you live in an arid location, which much of the Middle East is, and there's not running water? Well, what they would do is they would get a cistern that would cover and carry all of the water. And then they get another cistern on top of it that would collect rain. And then they would put a tap going from the top one to the lower one. And when the priest needed to do this, he would open up the tap. It would trickle down in, create ripples, and thus living water, and the person would be purified. Now, a couple interesting things about this. It doesn't matter how skanky something is. As soon as living water comes in contact with it, living water always wins spiritually. Always. It's not, in their understanding, it's not a matter of the nasty water infecting the living water. The living water always, always wins. Jesus never has any ill effects of touching somebody. He's always, always blessing. And it's interesting, religion would tell us, man, you don't want to go out there. Ooh, no. Man, there's like bad stuff out there. Ooh, no. Now, you don't want to go with people who don't look like you. You don't want to go with people who don't have the same values as you. Oh, no. Ooh, yeah. Because they might rub off on you. Where do we get this idea? No, we should be rubbing off on the world, not the world rubbing off on us. We should be positively affecting the world, not the world infecting us. In fact, if you're in a relationship with Jesus and you have his Holy Spirit and those living waters in you, that is the way that it works. Doesn't mean that you don't feel a little odd or weird living in the world in which we do. I find myself increasingly odd and weird in our world. Things are happening like, why is our culture going that way? Now, am I the only one who believes? I feel more and more weird all the time, just odd. This is why we're having this event on Tuesday night at Crossroads Oakley, and it will also be on all of Crossroads Anywhere if you want to tune in. We're having two friends of mine, Gabe Lyons and David Kinneman, who've written a book, and they have had some amazing just thoughts on what do you do when you're in a culture that's constantly challenging your faith? How does that look like? And I think you're going to be thankful that you hear some of the things that you say. But we need to recognize that if we're not flowing, if we just kind of stay here, we're going to become a skanky pond. We have got to be flowing. We've got to be overflowing. We've got to be living life out of the overflow, filled up enough, and there's an overflow. This is the way it is with all water. I don't care what you've been taught before. I don't care how powerful your prayer life was last week if you had one. I don't care if you've got seminary degrees. I don't care if you're a 30-year-old virgin and you're honoring God and you're thinking that all those things are good and fine. All those things are. What I'm saying is, if you can't identify a way that you are rushing forth, going outside of yourself, you will be, if you aren't right now, unhealthy. Now, I know we have in our room here, any room, we have a bunch of doomsdayers. Come, oh, the world's going to come to an end, you know. I'm not a doomsdayer, but just in case it does, I'm ready. I just basically followed FEMA federal guidelines that says you shouldn't assume that water will always flow. You should have a certain amount of dehydrated food, and you should have some water on hand. I got that, and I got guns. I'm ready. So I got those things. I have those things, and I got downstairs just stored. I don't think about it. I'm not an end-of-the-world kind of guy. I'm just like, what's the cost to buy some big plastic things and stick some water in it and stick it in the shade? And like nothing. It's fine. So I've got like some jugs of water down the basement stored. And here's the thing. It is entirely pure when it goes in. It goes going into the perfect container that's pure, and it can't stand there longer than a year. It'll just start to taste not good. So I've got to like pour it out and refill it in. That's just the way it works. It doesn't matter how pure you've been built into by God. If you don't have a way that you are pouring yourself out, you will become unhealthy. Something will not go right in your life. And God's not going to have, you can't even contain anything else that God would give you. It just bounces right off of you. This is part of the reason why the sense of faith in America right now, by any measurable statistic, is down. Down, 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 doobie-doo, down, down. I mean, church attendance way back when I was a kid, like everybody, I didn't know anybody who didn't have a church home and wasn't going to church. Didn't know anybody. I came to Cincinnati to start Crossroads in 95. I think the statistics were 50% of Americans were part of a local faith community. Last official statistic I saw was 33%, and the projections for the next 10 years is down to 15%. So, whether or not you like the series title or not, it is reality. Religion is dying in our country. And we mean the title as unhealthy systems should die relative to God. But no, by any measurable characteristic, people of faith, people who are trying to have any up connection with a higher entity is going down. And it's not just, well, I'm just leaving Christianity and going somewhere else. No, they're just becoming disaffiliated in higher degree. One of those reasons is it's because people who have filled up churches are skanky people. Are skanky, judgmental, inward-looking, unimaginative, uncreative, backwards people who are concerned about our own stuff and not about the Lord. Jesus came down from heaven. He went outside of his comfort zone to go to a place that was difficult to save and to bless. And when you come in a relationship, you have to be just like him. You have to go outside of your comfort zone. You have to try things to bless other people. That's what beans and rice is. One of our initiatives, we actually put it on the calendar and say, man, who's excited about beans and rice? I'm not. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be, I know I'm going to benefit from it, but going into it, I'm never like, oh, yeah. It's tough. It is. In fact, anytime you have a discipline in these areas that's going to grow you, you have to prioritize. You got to put it on the calendar. And this is one of our church disciplines. We put this on the calendar because if we don't, we'll just become more and more into our own stuff, more and more into our own sort of ministry machinery, more and more into our own initiatives. We got to find things that are outside of us that we don't benefit from at all. We got to change something to engage and do that. And I tell you, when you stop doing that, you start spiritually dying. It's interesting if you take a look at the history of Christianity, and I use Christianity now as a positive sense. It's Christian religion. I mean this in a positive sense. If you look at the history of Christianity, it's really different than every other spirituality or religion that you or I know of. Every other spirituality or religion, where it's born is always still the capital city of where it is. So Judaism was born in the Middle East, Jerusalem, and that's still the capital city. That's the center point of all that is Jewish right there. Islam, same thing. Middle East, and if you want to be like an awesome Muslim, be great to make it to Mecca someday. Get back to the original place. Get back there. Buddhism is born in the Far East, and still today, if you want to be a hardcore Buddhist, your dream is to go to Nepal and hang with people there, because where it was is still where it is. Hinduism, born in India, and that's still the center point of that spiritual activity in India. Scientology, born in L.A., and that's still where it is. Go to L.A. Hang out there. Jesus' movement, on the other hand, is totally different. It is born in the Middle East, and then it starts migrating up into Rome. It's still in the Middle East, but the center point of the activity is taking place in Rome. Starts migrating to other places of the continent, goes into other parts of Europe, into England, still in Rome, obviously still in Rome, but then what is in England becomes the center point of all worldwide Christianity. More missionaries and Bible societies and all kind of stuff was start. I mean, Salvation Army, I mean, all kinds of stuff started out of England when it was the center point in the 1800s. And then coming out of that, it migrated over to the United States. The United States has been basically the capital city, the center point of Christianity for the last, 75, 100 years or so. More resources going out of the United States to other places. Just the center point of a lot of creative communication, which is also part of the tensions we have with Islam. It's like, is it a political thing? Is it a religious thing with us? And it's migrating again. It's going away. And why does it keep migrating, by the way? It keeps migrating, my personal opinion, it keeps migrating because once it goes and gets a dominant foothold in a culture, people just stay to themselves. They're worried about their own budgets, their own beliefs, and they just stay, and then they get skanky and they lose the power. There's not living water. Jesus says living water will flow through you. Ran across this article just the other day that speaks to this in a profound way. It's from the Washington Post. Says this: over the past 100 years, Christians grew from less than 10% of Africa's population to its nearly 500 million today. One out of four Christians in the world presently is in Africa, and the Pew Research Center estimates that will grow to 40% by 2030. Asia is also experiencing growth as World Christianity Center has moved not only south, but also east. In the last century, Christianity grew at twice the rate of population in that continent. Asia's population of 350 million is projected to grow to 460 million by 2025. The global religious wildcard is China. Even today, demographers, estimate that more Christian believers are found worshiping in China on any given Sunday than in the United States. That's from the Washington Post. So if you're actually talking about a Christian country, China is more of a Christian country, if there ever was such a thing, than is America. And why is it growing in China? Because those folks who are in their underground groups, are going out and reaching people. Just, by the way, just a little caveat. This is one of my love-hate things with small groups. Small groups are great if you have an identified group of people you're growing with. It's really good. But then at the same time, if the group that you're meeting with doesn't have an out, it will be skanky. If you're with a group of people and you don't have a mission, you don't have a purpose beyond sitting in the living room and reading a book, people just start dropping off. Why are they dropping off? Because it stinks, that's why. You can't hang with that for more than 9 months. Like, I will never be in a men's accountability group again. Never. I believe men need to be held accountable, but what happens is men's accountability groups always devolve to anti-masturbation groups, and that's the whole point of it. Well, especially if you've got guys who are under 30, then it's like, oh, once you get to my age, not so much, but nonetheless, it's like, I can't keep showing up just, oh yeah, I did it again. Don't do it anymore. Okay, I won't. All right, good. All right, what are you going to do? What are you going to do different? Well, I'll do it. Okay, good. We're going to hold you accountable to that. There's a place for that. I mean, I think sexual purity is good, and I think that, but you know, if that's all you're like trying to keep each other accountable and read something, and there's not some out, that's why it doesn't last. That's why it's not vital. There's nothing living. There has to be something you're doing beyond yourself. Do you know what you're doing beyond yourself, beyond your own fiefdom, beyond your own personal spirituality? Are you rushing water? Are you a river, a conduit for God's goodness and the process? God's saying, hey, there's something that's moving. We're going to put more in there. That's what we're going to do this week. We're going to be moving. We're going to empty stuff out. We're going to trust that God's going to put more in. So you say, hey, there's a place that's moving. There's a people. There's a person who's being like me. Pour some more in there because it's moving. It's living. It's rushing. So this week, who wants to bless people? Who wants to be like Jesus this week? Who wants to make people clean this week? Who wants to make people clean, be a part of something? It's blessing. So we get to do this week, and all it takes is eating like the rest of the world eats all the time for 1 week, or at least a meal a day or something. Do something to be a part of going out while you're in with people who are worshiping and honoring God in the process. God, thank you for caring and for including. We pray for all those folks who want to try to help. People in Nicaragua have clean water. People in Flint and children who are hurting from bad water. People who don't have the proper swimming skills in our city, people who are being ravaged by heroin. God, we ask you to bring healing there, and we want you to use us to bring that healing. That's what we ask. And I pray these things according to the character and person of Jesus. Amen. Hey, let's stand right now. And this song is a really great articulation of what we just experienced. Let's do this together.
You are giving purpose through the power of your Son. In his footsteps we will follow. Jesus, come and lead us now.
Sing that again.
You are giving life and purpose through the power. Footsteps we will follow. Jesus, come and lead.
All right, let's do a little changing to do a little bit of Jesus to other people. Let's be in this together. You can do it as you go throughout the week at crossroads.net/give or pool your resource. We're all bringing in for our offering next week. So have an amazing week. See you next weekend.